If by the argument charge, he start, Krishna starting the 11th shloka, Pragnya Vadam Prabhasi Gata Suna Gata Sushya Nanu Shurchanti Pandita. And then he comes to Nasato Vidyate Bhavuna Bhavu.
This is the starting point of the... He says, that you speak the language of the wise. But those who are really wise, they do not think of that which is, which goes away.
He starts with that.
He said, you are starting with that which is and which will not be. But the wise people start their argument with the right statement, namely that which is and which can never go away. So start with that statement. Those who are wise, you are speaking the language of the wise, but you are not taking the premise of the wise. So I am now supplying you the premise of the wise. That is why the importance of this statement, which is very simple, and intellectually it is supposed to be invincible. You cannot conquer it. As I told you, Plato is supposed to be the greatest thinker of the world. And he came to the conclusion that that which is, that which is not can never be. Therefore, that which manifests and that which is and is not, you cannot know, you can only have an opinion about. But that which you can know is only that which is. So it is supposed to be, as it were, a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, this statement of Plato. And this is the statement that was written long, long ago. And therefore it is supposed to be the real starting point of thought. No thought can even be sustained without a positive statement. If you put in logical terms, logic is concerned with the structure of sentences. And structure of the sentences captures the reality. This is the meaning of logic. Whatever is real, if it is captured properly in your sentence, then your sentence is right. Whether the reality is captured or not, how do you determine? By looking at the way in which a sentence is structured. Now you will find that every statement is a statement referring to what is. You take any amount of sentences in the world, ultimately by implication or by directly. Even when you say lion, you have not used the word is. But the very fact that you point out lion is a demonstration of something that exists. Even when you say it is not, now the question is, what is it that is not? The word is not can be understood only in the context of is. Therefore, logically, it is impossible to escape one word, and that is. Thought cannot have any birth even if there is no is in the world. And that which is what Sri Krishna says, that which is. That which is not, looks very simple, but it is the entire philosophical structure depends upon this statement. And in fact, the whole argument of the Gita is based upon this. If you want to know the truth, the right and the wisest, which Arjuna was claiming to start with, so Sri Krishna said that if you really want to be delivered from moha, from depression, then you must go to the very first major premise. And that premise is called the premise of knowledge. That premise of knowledge is arrived at by buddhi. by intelligent will, applied to the processes of knowledge. That is simply called Sankhya. Sankhya is nothing but a process of discrimination. The word Sankhya comes from the word Sankhya. Sankhya is enumeration. And the basic enumeration is that which is and that which is not. That's a basic enumeration in the world.
So you mean Plato is inspired by this, he might have read this, he was a philosopher, but he is inspired by the center for as far as manifestation.
That is my personal belief. Because after studying both Indian thought and Western thought, I have come to the conclusion that Socrates was a teacher of Plato, and Socrates used to teach, used to converse with a number of Indians who used to come to Greece. So there is no doubt that there was a kind of intellectual commerce between India and Greece, not only commerce of goods, but also commerce of thought. That is why it is said that the teaching of the Gita, which is based upon Upanishads, was responsible for the highest thoughts that you find in Greek thought. And that is why it is possible to synthesize the East and the West. Today we speak of the great divergence between East and West. But if you go to the depth, you will find that it is very easy to bring East and West together if you really know the Indian thought in its highest and Western thought at its highest. Wherever there is a great opposition, it is because we are not going to the depth of the matter. Therefore, there is a lot of opposition. When you go to the depth of the matter, you will find a real synthesis. So this is the starting point. I am not yet discussing the question of manifestation, that which is and which is not. That which is in manifestation is not non-existent. Because that which is non-existent does not even come into existence. So there is a distinction between that which is not, and that which is not. And the battlefield is a strong example of that which is not. It is something in which things happen so fast, the order of things immediately begins to change as soon as the battle starts. What is the status of that is also a very important subject matter of the Bhagavad Gita. But that which is not can be understood properly only when you first establish yourself on that which is eternally present. Then everything else will be understood properly. Now karma is action. And action is something which is fleeting all the time. Therefore action is always phenomenal. It is concerned with which is not. That which is not can never be grasped, can never be conquered, can never be mastered unless you go to Sankhya. That is why karma yoga can never be perfect unless there is jnana yoga. Sankhya and yoga must be always together. That is why the chapter itself is called Sankhya Yoga.